Let's bow our heads as we come to God's word in prayer. Lord, as we come to your word, would you open our hearts that we might hear your voice? Lord, would you strengthen me to be able to preach your word this morning? And together may we have ears to hear what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Very good morning, everybody. We're continuing our sermon series in the book of Nehemiah. And if you remember, our overall title is called Building for God. Excuse me. And today's title is Standing Firm Together Against Opposition. Let me briefly remind you of the context. Remind you of the context we're at so far. The people of God have been coming back to Judea after their exile years out of the land. Jerusalem, if you remember, has been destroyed, but now the people of God are called to this great faith adventure to rebuild the walls of the holy city, to restore their community, and to rebuild their nation under God. And Nehemiah is the man who has been called to lead them forward in this. We've seen over the last few weeks how they've got stuck into the task before them. They've enthusiastically began to rebuild the city walls. They've been doing this hand by hand together, as we saw in chapter 3. But then we find that opposition arises. We shouldn't really be surprised at that, but opposition arises against them. In fact, opposition raised its ugly head in chapter 2, but then it comes to a head in chapter 4 and then rumbles on and comes back again in chapter 6. But I'm going to be focusing on chapter 4 and see what lessons we have for today. And when we look at these different oppositions, we see that they're mainly represented through two particular characters, maybe unsavory characters. Names are Sanballat and Tobiah. And if we were at a pantomime, this is when you would begin to say boo, hiss, every time their names have been mentioned. So Sanballat, boo, hiss, he was the governor of Samaria. Tobiah, boo, hiss, he was like his stooge, his right-hand man. Now, while these people were certainly responsible for the oppositions against God's people and the restoration work that was going on, we need to be reminded that whenever and wherever the kingdom of God is being built, wherever the kingdom of God is advancing, there actually is another enemy at work behind all of the oppositions that go on. What the Bible calls Satan, the great enemy of God. Probably know quite well a verse from Ephesians chapter 6, and Paul put it this way. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And then he goes on. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. That's why I've given the title, Stand Firm Against Opposition. So Satan, the enemy of God, will do all that he can to undermine and oppose and bring down the work of God and the people of God. And that's what we're seeing here in Nehemiah chapter 4. So the first thing I want to draw out is this. They needed to stand firm against discouragement. You see, this is in verses 1 to 3 particularly. So by now, as they're into their restoration work, everything had beginning to progress well. And then this opposition intensifies. And we hear that through the voice of Sanballat. This is what he says. He ridiculed the Jews and he said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore the wall? Will they finish in a day? And then Tobiah put in his little part as well. Verse 3, he says, well, what they are building, even if a little fox climbed up on it, would break down the walls of stones. We can hear, can't we, in that voice, the voice of sneering, of ridicule. There are cutting words of sarcasm. And they're all words that are there to undermine confidence. They're words designed to snatch away hope and vision that the people of God had. They had started so well. They knew that it was a huge task before them. It was a big, daring vision that they were going for. It was a high calling from God. But now what do they hear? The voice of the enemy of God sowing doubt, discouragement. And so they needed to stand firm. And this is all part of spiritual warfare. At the time of Nehemiah, of course, we know, and we've talked about it before, they were not just rebuilding walls, but they were rebuilding their lives. They were rebuilding their nation. They were rebuilding their hopes and their dreams. In fact, they were rebuilding their very calling to be the people of God and a light to the nations. And what we're seeing here is that Sanballat is opposing this directly. So he says in verse 2, will they offer sacrifices? He says, can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are? And what we see here are words that actually oppose the word of God. These words are scorning the prophecies and the promises of God. God had prophesied and he had promised that worship would be restored in the holy city once again. It was prophesied and promised that the nation would live and breathe again. Remember, we saw a few weeks ago that the vision of Ezekiel about the valley of dry bones and how life would be brought back into the nation. So yes, life was going to be brought back into the nation. The stones would live and breathe. But Sanballat opposes this. The very thing that encouraged the people of God to press on forward in their vision, to press in on the great calling that was before them, was that God had promised that they would once again thrive as his people. But Sanballat here is seeking to undermine the very word and promise of God. And you know, this is a common tactic of the enemy of God. In the Bible, Satan has given many different descriptive names. A few of them are these: deceiver, father of lies, accuser of the brethren. And what he seeks to do so frequently is to rob us of the truth of God's word. And that's what he was trying to do at the time of Nehemiah. He wants to rob us of the truths and the promises of God, that we are his beloved children, that we are inheritors of the kingdom of God, that we are safe and secure in Christ, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that we are more than conquerors in Christ. The truth and the promises of God. But the voice of the enemy whispers to us, no, you're not. And all too often we believe that voice rather than the word of God. He seeks to undermine our confidence. He seeks to stop us in faith, even when we've just got started. So I just want to pause and say to new Christians, and we have new Christians amongst us, one of the things the enemy wants to come to do as you're right at the beginning of your faith is to take it away. to take away that security that you began to feel. And you need to stand firm, and you need to find somebody to walk with you, and you need to be part of a small group of people who will be with you. But to all of us, he tries to hold us back in our journey of faith. He tries to prevent us from moving forward in our faith. He tries to stop us from stepping out into new areas of faith. And he does this by mocking us and by taunting us and by saying, you can't do that. His voice says, you'll never be able to do that. You're too weak. The task is too big. It's what they were thinking at the time of Nehemiah anyway. Or he says, you're not good enough. Who do you think you are to try that? He mocks our effectiveness to work for God. And all of this is part of his tactics. And it's what was going on at the time of Nehemiah. So what did the people of God do? We see in verse 4, they took it to God in prayer. It's a theme that runs through Nehemiah. Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Common cry from God's people. But then when we read on, we see as they prayed, they got on with the job that was at hand. They were busy building. So verse 6, so we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half height. For all of the people worked with all of their heart, is what it says. And the thing is, you see, they could have listened to this voice of the enemy. They could have listened to this ridicule. They could have listened to this discouragement. And they could have given up. But they didn't. They actually took it as an opportunity to be spurred on, even more committed to the vision that God had given to them. You see, often when oppositions and doubts and accusations come from the enemy, that is the very time for us to press on and to seek the Lord for a new heart for ministry and a new anointing by his Spirit. Just during this week, the need to press on has been very true for me. I don't really like to over-spiritualize things, certainly don't like to see Satan in everything, but perhaps shouldn't have been too surprised to find that I might have, given our subject this week, quite a challenging week myself. So in the early hours, about 2:30 a.m. of Thursday morning, I had to rush my wife off to A&E with all the symptoms of a heart attack. And they warded her and gave her the medications and took all the tests. And thankfully she was okay. And what it was a severe response to some medication that she'd had. But to all intents and purposes, there was a heart attack going on. Actually, while I'm there, I've had a sore throat all week. I'm just about getting through my sermon today. And at that day, all I could do was croak at the doctors and nurses. So the middle of the week I was having, or near the end of the week, I was having to work out, well, what do I do? Do I get somebody to cover? Am I going to have time to prepare a sermon? Am I going to recover with my voice and have a voice to be able to preach today? But I decided, no, I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to press on. I've not missed one Sunday worship service in 21 years of ordained ministry, and I wasn't going to miss this week either. Sometimes we have to press on and stand firm. So as we go back to our passage, the people stood firm. And this first round of opposition was about discouragement. But then we find there is more opposition to come. And this time it's a bit more sinister. It comes in the form of threat. Verses 7 to 8. They had to stand firm against threats. So we see that Sanballat and Tobiah came back again. And now they're bringing their cronies with them. So we read in verse 7 to 8. when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. Here the enemy is pressing in hard. And it looked like this as a map up on the screen. There should be a map up on the screen. So we find that there's Sanballat with the Samaritans to the north, Tobiah and the Ammonites out to the east, the men of Ashdod, they're actually the Philistines, they're out to the west, and then the Arabs of the area of Kedar with the Edomites, they're off to the south. And what we see here is the people of God are surrounded on all sides. And this unholy alliance is doing all that it can to cast fear into the hearts of God's people. And if you remember the context to them coming back to the city was that they had for two or three generations been in exile. They'd been taken out of their land and into captivity by the Babylonians. Then they were conquered by the Assyrians. Now they're back in their land and they're coming back. And here they're being threatened on all sides yet again. Of course, fear is rising up within their hearts. And whenever God is on the move, whenever a church is growing, whenever a new ministry is being launched, whenever the kingdom of God is advancing and calling us to move forwards and onwards, there is always going to be opposition. And there is only one response to it, and we see it again with Nehemiah. That's prayer. Jesus had this same tactic. When the enemy pressed in hard to him, remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he say to his disciples? Watch and pray. Watch out and pray. And we find this going on here in Nehemiah. So prayer is always the response. And here Nehemiah posted like some special people with some special tasks. Not special people, but people with special tasks. So verse 13, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, it says. We read a little bit later on in verse 14 how guards are posted next to the people as they were working. And this word posted, stationed, can be translated watchmen or watchwomen were placed. And we see that these watch people were placed at the lowest points of the wall. They were placed in the exposed places. We have here a picture of watch people as intercessors. We have, I think, a picture of intercessory prayer in the life of God's people. People who stand in the gap, which is what the ministry of intercessory prayer is all about. There are people who have this particular calling to keep like spiritual watch, a lookout, seeing where the enemy is sowing discouragement, seeing where the enemy is threatening and praying into those situations. These are the ones who go to the difficult places in prayer. They go into the vulnerable places. They contend for people and they contend for the church in prayer. So I want to say to intercessors here within the life of St. Andrews, stand firm. As you stand in the gap, I know that you yourself sometimes feel very exposed. Did you feel yourself vulnerable as you take up those places of prayer? In fact, you do carry very much the burden of spiritual warfare at times. And I just want to say that the Lord knows that. So stand firm in Christ and His mighty power. Your ministry is unseen, but your ministry is vital because it protects and releases the rest of us who serve in our particular callings. This ministry of intercession, of standing in the gap, is so very, very important. But of course, we're not all called to that particular gift of watchman, watchwoman type of intercessory prayer. But we are all called as the people of God to prayer in the life of the church. We're all called to pray for the work of the kingdom. There's a story told of the evangelist D.L. Moody. He was on his way from America to Britain by ship. And one of his followers informed him one day that the ship was on fire. And he said to him rather piously, "Shall I gather us all together for a prayer meeting?" Of which Moody replied, "Yes, of course, but let's pray as we're passing the fire buckets." Kingdom ministry must go hand in hand with kingdom prayer. And kingdom prayer must go hand in hand with kingdom ministry. Because that is how kingdom ministry is done. So why not, brothers and sisters, join our church monthly prayer gatherings? They're every fourth Friday of the month. They're always good meetings. The next one will be August 26th. Do make sure, those of you that meet in your connect groups or cell groups and small groups of any time, that you have your spiritual engagement as well as your biblical and social engagement. For some of us, we're able to set up maybe prayer groups in our areas of work, in our neighborhoods. Only have to have two or three people for short periods of time to be able to meet together and to support one another and to pray for the church. And of course, we can all deepen our own personal prayer times and our family prayer times. Prayer is this absolutely essential part of the building of the kingdom of God. I think we all know that. But we need to do it far more. And we all have a part to play in it. And then my final and shorter point. Amongst all of these external oppositions that they had, they also had to stand firm against an enemy that was within. Verses 10 to 12, we read how opposition came actually from those who were close at hand. You see, some of God's people, they were living out in the area surrounding Jerusalem, the area of Judah, outside of Jerusalem. And they began to advise that the work stops. Their comfort was getting unsettled. They were urging the builders to give up and leave. They were actually butting against the leadership of Nehemiah. They were not behind this great vision that God had given to the people to rebuild their nation again. And again, division and distress could have came to the people. The sad truth is that often the most difficult and painful discouragements come from within. Therefore, we need to choose carefully who we spend time with, actually, sometimes. To spend time with people that build faith and build up the life of the church and the kingdom. Sometimes we need to challenge words of others when they begin to grumble and to drag down into negativity about the church and about others. And Nehemiah's response to this discouraging grumbling is what was going on, was to speak faith to the people and to call them to unity again. So verse 14, "Do not be afraid. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers and sons and daughters." A few weeks ago, we saw in chapter 3, didn't we, how the people had to overcome years and years of divisions and bitter disputes to work together hand by hand. That was the only way they were ever going to restore the city. And now Nehemiah is calling them to once again stand firm together, hand by hand in unity, as they restore the people. So we see in verse 17 to 18, as they went back to work, as they resisted the oppositions, that they worked together with a weapon in one hand and their work tool in the other hand, with the sword in one hand and then their building materials and bricks in the other hand. Hand by hand they worked together. Hand by hand they were to watch out together. Hand by hand they were going to pray together. Hand by hand they were going to stand firm together. And in doing so, they would be strong in the Lord and in His mighty strength. So may we, as a cathedral church, as we seek to follow the Lord's leading, as He takes us into new things, as He advances His kingdom here, may we stand together firm against oppositions, fighting the spiritual battles that will surely come our way. We resist the enemy. We stand in the gap. We take up the sword of the Spirit. We trust in the promises of God. And then may we work and pray hand in hand together as we build the kingdom of God in this place, as we seek to build the kingdom of God in this nation, as we seek to build the kingdom of God throughout our diocese, encouraging one another, pressing one another forwards, protecting one another as we go forwards, getting behind the leadership of the church and building each other up in faith and love. That's our calling, brothers and sisters. Let us pray together. Lord, as we come to You this morning, very aware of our weaknesses, very aware of our humanity, very aware of the huge task to build Your church, to reach this nation, to reach out into our province and the wider world. But Lord, as we seek to move forward and to follow Your leading, Lord, help us to work together, to stand together, to resist the enemy together. Lord, your protection be around us. And Lord, would we follow your leading. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.